last time we discussed the chatzitza ramifications of makeup and the like, we noted that the source for the concern is the source for mitigating the concern is a Tshuvas HaRashba that identifies two potential tzadim lahakel. Number one, that something is lanoi, may not constitute a chatzitza, may not be considered a makbid something to if it's a chazusa ba'alma. If it doesn't have a mashis, then may also not constitute a chatzitza. So we noted machlokas rishon and machlokas the poskim as to whether you need both of those reasons in place in order to be mako or whether one is sufficient. We also noted that as a practical lechachila matter, given that we're always machmir for the Ramos Chumra, that even if something is a miyah she'eino makbid, you still have to avoid it when it comes to tefillah. So lechachila, even if you have something that is both lenoi and lechazusa, we still avoid it before tefillah. And the only issue is whether it's either unavoidable or in a b'di'evit situation would you require tefillah again. Ramoshe, in a couple of tshuvas, seems to indicate that on a maker din level, meaning in whatever will defines to be the evidence, even where either where it's impossible to remove, or a post-facto situation where she already went to the mikvah, Ramosha seems to indicate in two tshuvas that either reason alone is meikar din sufficient. Ramosha has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel Yeredeya Simin Samach Beis, Chelek Gimel Simin Samach Beis, in which Ramosha discusses false eyelashes, which again Ramosha writes that is a lechachila matter. It definitely needs to be removed, but the question is where that is impossible, or where one went to the mikveh not having removed it, or as we'll discuss a little bit later, a situation where a woman is generally speaking makbid on taras mishpacha, but she's not willing to go along with all these details of chatzitza. We'll see them in the context of not cutting nails in a little while. So in that kind of a context, Ramosha acknowledges that on a Me'ikar HaDin level, if you have something which is lanoi, even if there is mamashes, as in the case of false eyelashes, again, in a b'di'evit situation, Ramosha assumes that would not constitute a chatzitza. And there's another chip of Ramosha in a Netilas Yadayim context, Arachayim Chelik Bey Simen Kuf Yud, Arachayim Chelik Bey Simen Kuf Yud, where Moshe is discussing if you have ink on your hand, as far as that being a chatzitza for netilas yadayim. So Moshe there indicates that in that situation where there's no mamashas, even if it's clearly not lenoi, that m'ikra din that wouldn't constitute a chatzitza for netilas yadayim, and he quotes the shach in our sif here in Yeredeya, he understands the shach to assume as much in the context of chatzisa for tevila. The Shach and Sivkat and Kafalif, the Shach writes, Af mishachof erov ha-seyer o kul ha-rei kegufa shal seyer she'en ha-chotzeis va-seyer kegufa shal adav ha-od shamarim in ha-tzeva ein ba-mamish. So Moshe assumes in the Kavan of the Shach that shamara min ha-tzeva ein ba-mamish stands alone l'halacha, and therefore Moshe assumes that if you have dio that doesn't have mamashes, again, at the ikar din level, that wouldn't constitute a chatzitza, even though it's clearly not lenoi. Fine. Both Ramosha in the Psakim in L'Torah L'Hara Chelek Zayin, as well as the Piskei Das, quoting from Rav Yashiv on page Shin Ayin, note that, let's say a woman didn't remove her nail polish before tevila, if a woman has nail polish, Piskei Das writes over there, I'll quote, L'das harbe migdoli aposkim, yesh b'shimash b'nail polish b'sarad b'tznias, l'figach yesh l'imano mil'shamish bo. Okay. But if a woman did have nail polish on, and I don't know, that L'das harbe migdoli aposkim sounds like there are some minority migdoli aposkim that don't view it as a feature of tznias. It doesn't tell you who they are. But if a woman does have nail polish, and forgot to remove it before, or didn't remove it before going to the mikvah. So, given that it's lanoi, depending on what kind, it may or may not be chazus of alma, but given that at least it's lanoi, there's one to be mekel about lachar mais. However, if a woman removes some of the nail polish, but not all of it, that's worse. Because you can argue, if all the nail polish is there, that's not considered makbid because she wanted there to begin with, and it's in her interest. But if she started removing it and wasn't able to remove all of it, so that's clearly an indication that she is Makpid, that she doesn't want it there, and then having less of it there would make it worse. So Yekoser Rav Elyashiv was once asked in this situation of a woman who started removing her nail polish and wasn't able to remove it all for whatever reason. So Rav Elyashiv said that she should polish the rest of her nails, because then at least you have what to rely on, that it's lanoi, as opposed to if it's half removed, that's worse, that would be a chatzitza according to everyone. Then he quotes Rav Elyashiv in a different case, was asked about a woman who had basically removed her nail polish, and then the next morning she noticed that there's a tiny dot left, and she hadn't noticed that the night before. So there Rav Elyashiv paskin that if she hadn't even noticed it the night before, it's only a tiny dot, so that's probably considered not makpid, because when she looked at everything before she went to the mikvah, if it was significant enough to have been makpid, she would have noticed it. Okay. Let's move on now to discuss the chatzitza implication of nails. So the din of Shulchan Aruch beginning in Sif Yud Ches is based initially on Mishnayos and Mikvos. The same Mishnayos and Mikvos and Perites that we discussed previously that have lists of things that are chotzeis and not chotzeis for tefillah. So the Mishnayos there in Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Dalet of Perites contrast Batzik tachas hatziporin and soash tachas hatziporin. If you have batzik, if you have dough under a nail, the Mishnah says that constitutes a chatzitza, as opposed to if you have soa, which I'm deliberately not defining it, under a nail, that is not chotzeitz. Okay, so batzik tachas hatziporin, the Mishnah says is chotzeitz, soa tachas hatziporin, the Mishnah says is not chotzeitz. Okay, that's the extent of the distinction in the Mishnayos. The Rush, mikvah simen kavav. Right, the Rush on Mikvos is printed in the back of the Rush Anita, or towards the end of the Rush Anita before the end of the Tenth Parak. So the Rush in Simen Kavav there quotes a Tosefta that has a slightly more nuanced distinction. The Tosefta distinguishes between Tsoa that is Shelo Keneged HaBasar. If you have Tsoa that is not opposite the flesh, meaning in your fingernail you have the majority of the nail is flush with and over the flesh, and then you have the white part on the top, which is not over the flesh, right? So the Tosefta there distinguishes between soa, which is shelo keneged habasar, soa on the upper part of the nail, or the white part of the nail, which is not keneged habasar, which is chotzeitz, and soa, which is keneged habasar, soa on the lower part of the nail, which is not chotzeitz. If it's keneged habasar, it's not chotzeitz. That you're not makpid on, presumably. And if it's shelo keneged habasar, if it's on the top part of the nail, the white part of the nail, that is chotzeitz. Okay, so the Mishnayos made no distinction between where the tzoa is placed. The Mishnah just says unequivocally, tzoa is not chotzeitz. And the Rush quotes a Tosefta that distinguishes between tzoa over the basar part of the nail, which is not chotzeitz, and tzoa over the Shiloka negative box, the part of the nail, the upper part of the nail, the white part of the nail, which is chotzeitz. The Rambam, Perek Beis Mikvos Halacha Aleph and Halacha Yud Dalid. Perek Beis Mikvos Halacha Aleph and then Halacha Yud Dalid just quotes essentially the Mishnah Kitzuresa. He doesn't quote the distinction of between Keneged Habasar and Keneged and Shiloka negative Habasar. Okay? The Beis Yosef here on Sif Yud Ches assumes within the Rambam that the Rambam understood that the Tosefta to be arguing on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Tsoa is not chotzeis under all circumstances. The Tosefta distinguishes between Shelo Keneged HaBasar and Keneged HaBasar. And the Rambam Paskin, like the Mishnah over the Tosefta, the Mishnah against the Tosefta, that there's no distinction in the Halacha between where the Tsoa is situated. However, the Tor does quote this Tosefta Lalacha. The Tor quotes this distinction, as does the Mechaber here in Se'if Yuches. And the Beis Yosef explains, the Tor presumably understood, that the Tosefta is coming to be Mefarish the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said that Soa is not Chotzeitz, B'med Var Mamurim, if it's Soa, Keneged HaBasar. But in a Chanami, if it's Soa, Shelo Keneged HaBasar, that would not be chotzeis, and that's what the mechaber quotes lahalachi here in Sif Yud Ches. Soa shetachas atziporen shelo keneged abaser chotzeis, keneged abaser eino chotzeis, ubaseik shetachas atziporen afilu keneged abaser chotzeis. And baseik is chotzeis across the board. Veizu shelo keneged abaser, zeshetziporen odef al abaser, as we said, the white part of the nail, the part that goes above where the nail is flush with the skin, with the flesh, that's considered shalom keneged ha-basar. Okay? Now, the pashtus is that when the Mishnah, the Tosefta, refers to tzoa, they don't mean literal tzoa, they just mean dirt. And the reason that tzoa is not chotzeit, at least shalom keneged ha-basar, is that's not considered to be something that people are makpidah. The Mishnah Berurah spells this out in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, where the Mechaber writes, Arachayim Simen Kuf Samach Aleph Se'if Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Aleph Se'if Aleph, Tzarech Li Zaher Mei Chatzitza, Shekol Dover Shechotzeis B'Tfila Chotzeis B'Netila. So generally speaking, the rules, the parameters of Chatzitza for Netila Sedayim mirror the parameters of Chatzitza for Tevila. Kegon, Soa Shetachas HaTziporen Shelo Keneged HaBasar. For example, if you have tzoa under the nail, shelo keneged ha-basar, just like that is chotzeis for hilchos tevila, that's also chotzeis for netilas yadayim. Mishnah Berurah writes of katan beis, what does tzoa mean? Hainu zua masat tzipernayim, the dirt that you have under nails, shederach likaveis sham, that tends to gather under a nail. Aval tzoa mamish, afilu keneged habasar mistama shalachashim netila in masa shenesharsham. But tzoa mamish, so that presumably people are always going to be makbid about. So even if it's keneged habasar, tzoa mamish would be chotzei. So when the Mishnayos, the Tosefta, the Mechaber here, Shachar Aruch refer to tzoa, Mishnah Berurah tells us that's referring to dirt. But tzoa mamish would be chotzei across the board. Okay. The Badi Yashulchan Be'urim page Lamed Hey, Be'urim page Lamed Hey points out there is a Rashban Chulin that doesn't seem to say like this. The Rashban Chulin in the Netilas Yadayim Suk in Kol HaBasar, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Diver Maskel Hadar Minan, Rashban Chidushim and Chulin Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Diver Maskel Hadar Minan. So there the Rashba, again in the context of Chatzitza for Netilas Yadayim, writes that tzoa, a person always removes because it's masrachas. So the fact that he's writing tzoa, a person removes because it's masrachas, sounds like he's talking about tzoa kipshuto. And the reason that it's not chotzeitz in Hilchos Tevila is not because of the kepeda per se, because in a chanami people are makbid, it's because it's not mehudak. It's because it's loose, the water can get underneath, and therefore it's not chotzeis. So the Rashi was saying that literal tzoa, to the extent that it's not chotzeis, that's because of a technicality, so to speak, because it's not mehudakes. But in a chanami, if you have something that is masrachas, that's not mehudakes, then that's going to be chotzeis, just like batzik is always chotzeis, because people are always makbid. Then if you have tzoa that's mehuduk, that's always going to be chotzeis as well. According to the Rashba, tzoa, again, we don't know. I shouldn't say we don't know. I don't remember checking the Torah Sabbath if he has this. If the Rashba quotes this din with a Tosefta Lalacha, you could check. But the Rashba would say that to the extent that tzoa is not chotzeis, that's only where it's not mehudakes. But in a chanami, tzoa kipshuto is always going to be chotzeis because it's masrachas. If not for the ena mehudakes thing. In a Tilas Yadayim and presumably in Tevila, I'm sorry.
Isn't that like the Mishnah
Berurah? No, the Mishnah Berurah. It's like the Mishnah Berurah lahalacha. It's not like the Mishnah Berurah in terms of Pshat of the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah is saying, the Mishnah Berurah in explaining the Mechaber says that the distinction between Shalok and Agad Basar and Kenegad Basar is only true by dirt, but when it comes to Tzoa Mamish, it's always going to be Chotzitz. The Rosh was saying that Tzoa is not Tzoa Mamish is not Chotzitz because it's not Mudekas. In a Chanami, if you had Tzoa Mamish that was Mudekas, then that would always be Chotzitz. But according to the Rashba, that is the Tzoa that the Mishnah refers to, and to the extent that the Tosefta distinguishes, Tosefta would be talking about that. According to the Mishnah Berurah, the Tosefta and the Mishnah are only talking about dirt, they're not addressing Tzoa Mamish. But leaving aside the Mehudak, bottom line, Lahalacha, if you have Tzoa that's not Mehudak, they both would agree that it's Chotzeis, that's considered Makar. Okay. Then there is a third approach of Rishonim to what kind of tsoa / butzek or fire material is chotzeitz under nail. Let's take a look at the Taz here in Sukkot and Yutes. The Taz quotes in the Beis Hillel, quotes in the Smag, Bishem Rabbi Natam, that when we say tsoa shalok and agadah basar chotzeitz, Zadavka b'tit hadoma lebatzek. That's only talking about the consistency of dirt or of tit that is similar to batzek. Shenidbak ma'od, kagon tit shal yotzrim, avalo b'tit acher, v'tzoa. V'teda, shretana mevos, eile shen chosin, l'chluchay tzoa, shal v'saro. So we should have a tzibarim. V'lo zakim yitzakam v'shachan arach l'hakil kol kach. So according to Rabbein Tam, there is a whole class of tzoa that's never going to be chotzeitz, even shelo k'neged basar. And the Taz says that we don't accept Rabbein Tam v'alacha in Hilchos Tvila, but you could rely on Rabbein Tam in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. Okay. The Mechaber then, the end of Sif Yeches, writes as follows. Based on the Rosh of the Rashba, Lefi she'eina yecholos l'chavein manikra k'neged abasar o shelo k'negdo. Since it's difficult to precisely distinguish between what's considered k'neged abasar and was considered shalok neged basar, nagu anashim litol tzipurneim b'shas tefila. So the minhag developed that women would always cut their nails before tefila to make sure that there is no possibility of having a chatzitza, of having soa shalok neged habasar. Okay, so this reason that the Mechaber quotes is the formulation of the Torah, that the reason that this minhag developed for women to cut their nails before tefillah is out of a concern that we don't know precisely where the demarcation between k'neged basar and shelo k'neged basar. So to avoid any shaila, we cut nails. The Rama adds even more. The Rama appended to Sif Kaf over here. So once a minute developed to cut nails, afilo imsiparin achas nishar biyada v'tavla. So even if a woman went to the mikvah and didn't cut one of her nails, tzvicha tefila acheres, she has to go again. So the first stage is what the Mechaber quotes from the early Rishonim, the Rosh and the Rashba, the minute developed that women would cut their nails. Another of my answer to that, once a minute developed, so then if a woman failed to cut her nails, even if she failed to cut a single nail, she would have to repeat the tevila. What is that based on? So that is the subject of a major machlokas between the Taz and the Shach over here. The Taz here in Sif Katan Kaf Aleph assumes that the basis of the Ramah's added chumrah is a comment of the Hagos Shari Dura, which is the parenthetical reference here in the Ramah, Agosh Aridura in Simon Tesvav writes that we're concerned if a woman didn't cut her nail, the Afshar Shaloyeh Besochatit. We're concerned that there may be tit there, maybe considered Shaloket Agarabath, and there may be Chotzes. So the minhag developed for women to cut their nails. Ultimately, the concern is that there might be dirt underneath. So if a woman failed to cut at least one of her nails, because we're concerned maybe there's dirt, she has to redo the tefillah. So that sounds like that's essentially a chumrah ba'alma. It's an additional concern that maybe the rechoshesh, maybe there could be dirt there. But that's only a chumrah. Therefore, the Taz writes, Menir Ali, the kol ma shemetzina shefichah lip al shenis b'shachach alitol ziparen haynu kozman shaloshim shem baila. So that chumrah that the Rama has to go to the mikvah again, that's only if lo lanz and baila. Aval im acha shishim shen is karet, but she only realizes that she didn't cut her nails after shimsha. Ein lahachmer la lefichah tefillah shenis kevin shein zel chumrah ba'alma. So in that situation, we don't require to do another tefillah, since anyway, it's only a chumrah ba'alma. You look in the Baragola over here in Os Mem Gimel, or the note after Os Mem Gimel. So he writes, what's the reason that we distinguish between Lunz and Baila and Lo Lunz and Baila? Shemati Hainu Kozma and Shiloshim Shem Baila Avalola Akha Shakar Shem Shemanesha Abshashin Asabra. Which is what the Taz writes over here. In the Tshuvas Maram Lublin that the Shach quotes, Siman Ayin Aleph, the Tshuvas Maram Lublin has the same bottom line as the Taz, but he goes a step further than the Taz, or at least the Taz doesn't quote this part. In the Chuvas Maran Lublin, he writes, Afilim lo niskaka labayla b'osa layla hadavar mechuar v'ein tzvicha tefila charesem lo nimsa shem lechuch tachtav. So it's not only lunz and bayla. Even if lo lunz and bayla, but the first night passes, leil tefila passes, that's considered mechuar hadavar to go to the mikvah again. So the Taz doesn't quote that part. Taz just quotes Lansam Baila, but the Maran Lublin has even a flow Lansam Baila, if the night passes, as we said in Mechuar, and you don't need another tefillah, because as long as you don't actually find dirt under the nail, because this is only a Chumrah Ba'alma, Badi Yashochan seems to favor this Maram, this Nakuda in the Maram Lublin Lahalacha, that to the extent that we be Makel, we'll get to the Shach in a minute, but to the extent that we be Makel like the Taz, to not require Tevila again after Lansam Baila, Badi Shulchan thinks it's very plausible that you can even be Makel if the first night passes in Lo Lansam Baila. So if the reason is only that Efshar Shinas Abra, and you're creating a chashash of mostly Laz and the Vlad, that wouldn't apply if Lo Lansa Baila. But the Maran Lublin is saying, it's still Mechur Davar, and as long as the first night passes, to require another tefillah, even if Lo Lansa Baila. Okay, that's the Taz, that this is essentially a Chumrah, out of the concern that the Sharidu articulates, maybe there's dirt under the fingernail. So Lichachila, if she realizes, after she goes home, that she didn't cut her nail, she should go back to the mikvah. But if Kfar Lan Tzimbayla, maybe even Lo Lan Tzimbayla, if the night passes, that wouldn't be required because, again, it's only a Chomer Balma. The Shach raises another concern here and assumes that the Ramah's basis is not merely this Hagot Sharidura, but that the Ramah is, or at least the Minag reflected in sight in the Ramah, reflects a concern for a Shita of the Ra'avan. The Ra'avan, Perek Yubeis Osvav, it's a Simen Ayin Dalet in the Ra'avan, in the breakdown of Perek Yubeis Osvav. So the Ra'avan writes that a woman will read the excerpt from the Shach in the middle of Sifkatan Kafei Meshach, Sifkatan Kafei Meshach, Miu, Ra'avan, Matzasi Bizal, Tzricha Lachto Tziporna Yadeha V'Regleha. The woman has to cut her fingernails and her toenails. We'll get to toenails in a moment. Dekevan de asida litlan chaytzi hashta. So that's a kala omili gazes kagazes dami type thing. That since you're going to cut them, then that's indication that you're makbid. That which you are going to cut is considered a chatzitza. So that's not what the Sharidura writes. But the Shach is choshesh for this Ravan, that it's not a concern that maybe there's dirt under the nail. Even if we know full well that there's no dirt under the nail, we're worried about the nail itself. That the nail itself potentially constitutes a chatzitza because it's omeid ligazes. And therefore the Shach paskins that even if lansam by law, if it's possible to redo the tefillah should be redone. Okay, let's just take a brief detour here for a moment before we come back to analyzing the Taz and the Shach. The Shach, according to this Ravan, who says that a woman has to cut her fingernails and toenails. Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkatan Yud Aleph. Sorry, Sifkatan Yud quotes from the Chamudei Daniel. Chamudei Daniel was makel when it comes to toenails, that if a woman didn't cut her toenails before going to the mikveh, she doesn't have to repeat the tefillah, because people are not generally makbid on dirt in their toenails. Okay, that's the Chamudei Daniel quoted here in Piskei Tshuva Sif Katan Yud. Shari Tefillah, Simen Kaf Aleph Ozayin, Shari Tefillah, Simen Kaf Aleph Ozayin, quotes from his uncle, quotes from Rav Yashiv, that Rav Yashiv said that women, the way he presents it is who wear opaque stockings, but the point is that women who would have their toes exposed in any context are presumably makbid on dirt in their toes as well. One other parenthetical, as far as the Ravan's contention that when it comes to fingernails, you would say the equivalent of that would constitute a chatzitza because you're going to cut it. So in that context, we should at least note what the Piskei Tshuva quotes in Sifkat and Yud Beis from the Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. Those, where the minhag was that married women would shave off their hair, but the woman would keep on, would not shave off her hair until the day after the wedding. So how do you treat the hair of a woman who's about to get married and knows that she's going to be cutting it off 2 days later? So do you say over there as well, and that would constitute a chatzitza? So the Chasam Sofer is meikel on that. Minig Yisrael Torahi, that we don't find women who cut off their hair before they get married. Because when we say, Halomi, leave whatever to whatever dami, that's only if you're going to do it right away, without a break. And here there will be a break of a couple of days, or a day at least, so that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. And it doesn't play to another Mar Malkum. Sefer Truma Simon Kuf Dalid. Sefer Truma Simon Kuf Dalid. Tzvicha Lachtov Sipar Neha. V'cheinu Minag. Minag is how women cut their nails. V'nira Dahaymi Taima. Nishum Hatit Shetachas Hatsiparin. So that's like the Shari, Hargoth Shari Dura. The reason for the Minag is we're worried about the dirt under the nails. Ava Mishum Hatsiparin Shugadol Yosemidai Chutz Labasar. When it comes to the nail itself, even if it's long, and even if you're going to cut it anyway, ain't near a tamzeh. So Sefer Truma says, against the Ravan, that's not considered a chatzitza. Sharei, saros rosho, shegidoli yosemidai, v'omili kotzeitz, v'lo erigilu sagalcha mishasfilo. Women who do keep their hair after they get married, do cut their hair on occasion, and lo matzino achumra, that if you're planning on getting a haircut at some point, you have to cut off all the hair that you're planning on cutting before you go to the mikvah. So the Sefer Truma thinks that's a raya. The Chazon Sofer is working the opposite direction. If you're going to be concerned of the Ravan with the Ravan when it comes to nails, maybe it should be makir by hair. And the Sefer Truma says the fact that we're not makir by hair is indication that in a normal situation, without talking about someone who shaves off her whole head, so you can distinguish. But the Sefer Truma says the fact that we're not makbid by hair to cut whatever hair you would intend to cut before going to the mikvah is an indication that there's no need to be makbid for nails either. Okay. Fine. So back to the machlokas, the Taz and the Shach. Again, the Taz is of the opinion, the whole concern is because of the reason of the Agov Shari Dura, then maybe there's dirt under the fingernail. And since it's only a chumra ba'alma, there's no need to be mafmir if kfar lansa im baila. And the Shach assumes even for Alon Sandaila, you should be machbet to your card of the tefillah because of the Ravan's consideration that it's kola omi li gazez ki gazez dami. What you seem to see, the Shari tefillah says a little bit of this, what you seem to see from the Shach's Ravan, Shari Tefillah Simon Kaf Aleph Os Beis, is that even though the reason that you're going to cut your nails is ostensibly because of the minhag. You wouldn't necessarily cut your nails to that extent if not for the minhag. In a chanami, the source of the minhag may be because of the Shari Dura's consideration of tit. But bottom line, there is a minhag. You cut your nails because of the minhag, and that is enough to make it considered makbid and say kol omli gazez ki gazez dami. We'll see in a moment. Not everyone agrees with that perspective on defining kapeda. Chaim Ozer has a famous tshuva, Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Gimel Os Aleph. Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Gimel Os Aleph. He was asked about women whose practice was to let their nails grow long, and they're prepared to keep Taras HaMishvacha, generally speaking, but they're not prepared to cut their nails to the extent that to fulfill the expectation of the minhag of cutting the nails as far as much as they could be cut. So are you allowed to, or can you allow women to go to the mikvah under the circumstances where they're not prepared to accept the minhag as well of cutting their nails? So Chaim Bozer assumes, or points out, that you should make your best effort to convince these women to keep minhag Yisrael. But if that fails, on an ikkaridin level, the fingernail is not considered to be chotzeitz. If we assume me'ikra din, it sounds like he assumes like the Taz. And he says, even according to the Shach's Ravan, you would only say kol omli gazez ki gazez dami for a woman who's going to cut her nails. But this woman never cuts her nails to that extent, so you can't say by her kol omli gazez ki gazez dami. So even according to the Shach, he argues, if she's not prepared to accept the minhag, so then essentially that creates an eino makbid situation for her, ironically. So he says you shouldn't paskin l'kula on this publicly, but you shouldn't be mocha if such a woman wants to go to the mikvah. Rav Avadya points out in the same spirit, Yabia Omer Chelik Beis Yoredeya Simen Yud Gimel Os Gimel and On. Chelik Beis Yoredeya Simen Yud Gimel Os Gimel and On. That you're not going to say over here Bala Daito Eis HaGod, that maybe we would say the majority of Frum women agreed to follow the men of Israel and they cut their nails all the way. So even if this woman is makbid herself that she doesn't want to cut nails, maybe we'll say but with Aita Esel Kaladam, and it's considered a chatzitza. So he says you don't say that. Because you see from the Ramban by Yifas Toar that this is an old standing practice. The Ramban references there that the women would grow their fingernails and color their fingernails. And that's part of the in the context of Yifas Toar. So you see, this is an old practice that goes back millennia. So you wouldn't say baladai teitzik logam by something which is a long-standing practice among certain classes of society. And then the Shari Tefila points out again in Siman Kaf Aleph that he quotes from Shlomo Kluger that if the only reason you're going to cut something is because of a minhag, that's not considered makbid mikra din. The only reason that you cut something is because of minhag, so mikra din, that doesn't make it considered makbid. So therefore your Shari Tefila writes, for example, let's say you had a kala who was toveles the day before the chasana, and she forgot to cut her nails. So under normal circumstances, we tell her to go to the mikvah again. But because of the logistics of the chasana, there's no time to go to the mikvah. So there you could be makel, writes the Shari Tefila, to allow her to not have to go to the mikvah again. Because mikra din, we assume that this isn't considered a davar hamakbid, if the only reason that you cut nails is because of the minhag, and he quotes from Zalman and Rav Yashiv as saying something along those lines. Okay, so how do we assume lahalacha here, machlokas taz and shach? Shevet Alevi writes that if a woman went to the mikvah, lunch and baila, notices that she didn't cut her nails, the nails are definitely clean, so there's what to rely on to be maker like the Taz, not to require another tefillah. The Shach would say, even if lunch and baila, she should go to the mikvah again, if possible. And the Shevet Alevi writes, is what to rely on to assume like the Taz, bikvar lunsa in baila. Lo lunsa in baila, that even the Taz agrees, he should go to the mikvah again. The Badi Shulchan as well, the Badi Shulchan Sivkata and Kuf Mem Vav also assumes that Mikra Din, we go like the Taz, that Lansa Yitzel Badi, you don't have to go to the Mikvah again. And as we noted earlier, Badi Shulchan is even willing to be Mekel below Lansa and Baila if the night already passes. He knows the Sidri Taris Mekel like the Taz, even though the Chachma Sadev is Machmir. And since anyway the Ravan is the Shitas Yachanim Rishonim, he's comfortable relying on the Taz Lukula. Now the corollary here is the second part of the Taz Mishach. What happens if a woman neglected to cut her nails before a Friday night tefillah, then she realizes that she didn't cut her nails? So part of the discussion here is whether to have a nachri cut nails, maybe without a kli, maybe even with a kli, maybe it's a malacha she'ena svicha legufa, and amir lenachri would be permissible. So the Taz assumes that since, anyway, this is all a chumra v'alma, mikra adin, she could go to the mikvah without cutting her nails. So if it's Friday night, don't bother with the nachri. Clean out the nails, make sure that they're clean, that there's no actual tit. If the nails are clean, she can go to the mikvah with her uncut nails and don't involve a nachri. And the shach assumes, no. Again, this is problematic, me ikar ha din. The shach, and then more than ukudas akasef here. And therefore, you have to have a nachri cut the nails, better without a kli, maybe even with a kli. And if a nachri is not available, then you'd have to postpone the tefillah. The Shabura Paskins in Simon Shin Mam Sivkat and Gimel, Simon Shin Mam Sivkat and Gimel, that we do allow Amir Lenachri in this case, like the Taz. So Lichachila, you should have Lenachri, like the Shah, sorry. Lichachila, you should have Lenachri available to cut the nails. If a Lenachri is unavailable, then you can rely on the Taz and just clean the nails and go to the mikvah Friday night, but don't have to delay the tevilah. Darki Shuva Sivkat and Samach Gimel quotes a Teferis Tzvi that no, if there's no nachri available, you do have to delay the tevilah. Rav Schechter, in one of his comments in the Yehuda Sobolevsky Sefer, writes that way as well. Pesachei Das quotes from Rav Yashiv that because this is a whole complicated issue, whether Amir Lenachri is even permissible to begin with, so better to be machmer, even if there is a nachri available, better to delay the tefillah until Motzei Shabbos. Then in Sif Kaf Aleph over here, Mechaber writes, Tziporin ha-mildildeles shepir shemi'uta chotzetzes. If you have a hanging nail, if only a minority of the nail is hanging, meaning it's more attached than detached, the majority is still attached, chotzetzes. Pir sheruba ina chotzetzes. If the majority is detached, it's not a chotzitza. Why is that? What's the basis of this distinction between partially detached and, or minority detached and majority detached? So at least three reasons here in the Beis Yosef and the Nosa Kehel. Beis Yosef first writes that if the majority is detached, so then it's easy to detach the entire nail. If rove of the nail is already detached, it's not a big deal to detach the whole nail. The fact that you didn't detach the whole nail is a raya that you're not makbid. So the default position would be, if you have something hanging, you're makbid. But if the majority is already detached, the fact that you haven't removed the whole thing is indication that you're not makbid. And that's why the din is that if it's pir sharuba, eina chotzetzes. Right. Again, the Mishnah just says, the Mishnah there in Paratas Mishnah Dalet says, Tziporin midildalas eino chotzeitz, and the Tosefta distinguishes between Pirsha Miyuta and Pirsha Ruba. So the Beis Yosef, the first reason, says it's a function of your Kpeda. If the majority is detached, the fact that you haven't detached the rest is indication that you're not makbid. Then the Beis Yosef has another suggestion that the concern isn't the nail itself, but the possibility of a chatzitza on the nail. So if you have a nail that's majority detached, even if you have a chatzitz on the nail, it doesn't concern us because we view it as essentially already removed from the body. If it's minority detached, it's mostly still attached, so then a chatzitz on the nail, that part of the nail, is considered a chatzitz on the body. If it's mostly detached already, so the chatzitz doesn't bother us because it's ke'ilu, not there anymore. So according to that reason, if there's no davar chotzeitz on the nail, so then it shouldn't be chotzeitz regardless of how much is hanging. According to the first reason, Beis Yosef, the concern isn't a chatzitz on the nail, but the nail itself, and then we distinguish between majority detached and minority detached. Then the Taz over here in Sukkot and Kaf Beis quotes the third possibility. Then it's all based on whether it's exposed to the water. If you have something that is mostly detached, so the water can get underneath, and therefore it's not considered to be chotzitz. Nevertheless, despite all these distinctions, the Shach writes in Sukkot and Kaf Zayin that given our practice to require another tefillah if a woman didn't cut her nails. So here also, one should require, you shouldn't allow tefillah by any situation of nidul delos. Now if you raise that question, whether you say that, it seems to come down that you'd be machmir across the board. And Piskei Das, page Shin Mem Vav, Kosev Vav Yashiv, that lichachila you wouldn't allow going to the mikvah with any tzipar min dildelas. B'di'evet, and parlan sem baila, so then, if it's miyuta, then there's one to rely on to go like the Ikar Din in Shulchan Aruch, that at least ask the shayla. Okay, let's begin briefly discussing Beis Hasdarim, which we've touched on in the past. The Gemara on Samach Vav on the Beis has a Maimer of Rava. That a woman has to rinse off, the folds in her body with water prior to tefillah. Gemara establishes that even though you don't need bias mayim mamish, you need rai bias mayim kol rai bila in bila makavis. Then the Gemara says before the long lines, Amar Rav and Bar Rav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma'isa b'shachasa shor Rabbi shetavla v'alsa v'nimsala etzem chotzeit ben shina. So once the shivcha of Rabbi went to the mikvah, and when she got out, she saw there was a bone between her teeth. V'tzricha Rabbi tefila achayra. So Rabbi made her go to the mikvah again. Because that was a chisaron in Rai L'Bias Mayim, that even though the teeth are Beis Hasdarim, but it has to be Rai L'Bias Mayim, and if there was a davar chotzeis between the teeth, it's no longer Rai L'Bias Mayim. Okay, is this a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan? Tosfos in Kedushin, Kafhei Amibes, the end of Dibur Maskil Kala Roy, assumes that Roy L'Bias Mayim is a din d'oraisa, based on Rachas, it's called the Saro B'Mayim. Most Rishonim seem to assume this way. The Chachmei Sfar, specifically the Ritva, the Ramban of the Rashba entertained this, the Ritva is more emphatic, that it's only a din d'Rabbanan, and it's not really included. The din of Rachas of the Sarabayim only refers Mikra din to that which is exposed and not that which is in the Beis Hasdarim. Yeah.
So
I'm going
to get a roof anyway. I have to do din d'oraisa.
You only have rov if you're mitzayir if the Beis Hasdarim. Okay, Piskei Das points out Pei Shinun that he thinks that the stimas rov harishonim even those that don't talk about it explicitly, the default position should be that it's a d'oraisa based on the pasuk, unless you specifically say otherwise. There is a Me'iri that we should know. The Me'iri here on Samach Vav Amid Beis writes as follows. Mitov kach ani mora uba shebaser shebesocha shinayim ein derech lahakbid olav kol kach ve'ein ochozeis. So the ma'is in the Gemara was dafka esa min ha-shinayim, a bone. But meat, people are makbid about, and if you have baser min ha-shinayim, that's not chozeis. Even though he quotes the Raivin and Bali Nefesh as arguing, and the Beis Yosef quotes the Smag who argues. Smag writes, in Nimsa Bene and Basar O Peru and Chotzesin, if you have meat or crumbs between the teeth, that's Chotzeit as well. So again, the Iri writes that Basar Bene Shinaim is not Chotzeit, the Smag, the Raivin, and Lalacha, we assume that Basar Bene Shinaim is Chotzeit. Rav Yishodim don't have this distinction of the Me'iri. Although Rav Avadia points out that since you do have the Me'iri, at least that's usable as a sniff in a case where you have a suffix. Let's say a woman had a suffix as to whether there was something ben Hashinayim after she went to the mikvah. So then you can add the Me'iri as a sniff le'kula. He quotes that the Marsham also quotes, there's a Shulchan Maram like this, that Basar isn't Chotzeit, so the revised things that you can be mitzaref this minority sheet to him as a sniff where necessary. But Lalacha, Mechaber writes in Se'if Kaftalit, Tzricha Lachzos Shineha, Shelo Yehei Behem Dabra Chotzeit, you have to floss your teeth, you have to clean out your teeth. The contemporary books can say that for most women, it's a good idea to floss. For women who tend to have the floss stuck between their teeth, that can make things worse. So then you have to find a better way to get stuff out of your teeth. Shem tavla v'nimsa shem davar davik v'hem lo asala tefila. Okay. I think we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the minag, the second part of the Mechaber here, talk about chatzitzos and teeth. And then try to finish up Siman Kufsadi Fest. Even though the rest of Kufsadi Fest looks long, about half of it we've touched on through the back door until now, one way or another. So for the rest of the Siman, I'll send you a couple more Marmar comments about teeth, but for the rest of the Siman, just go through Mechabra, Mashach, Pesach, Tshuva. And yeah, so tomorrow we'll convene 5 minutes after Mincha. Okay, good.